You may ask, what possible kosher concerns can there be with tea? Isn't tea just a plant? There are many tea products. There are regular tea bags, instant tea powder, bottled iced tea, and herbal teas. There are also tea-flavored drinks, tea energy drinks, and many more. Each specific category has unique factors, which a kosher agency oversees. Let me introduce you to the world of tea. All true tea product comes from the leaves of the Camellia sinensis tree. This tree is commonly perceived to be a bush because it is cut down to keep it at a low height. The common categories of tea are white tea, green tea, oolong tea, and black tea. These various teas originate in the same tea plant. To harvest tea, the upper end of the branch with the two upper green leaves and the center bud of the Camellia sinensis are selected. The bud in the center is used for white tea and is the most expensive tea leaf. The upper two green leaves are selected for green oolong and black tea. At the time of harvest, the leaves have a bitter taste and a grassy odor. They transform to an aromatic and flavorful leaf via fermentation. The upper branch that held the two leaves and center bud are called fannings. This is chopped up and used to make tea powder. They are also known as BMF, which stands for broken mixed fannings. The basic process for leaf fermentation comprises of four major steps: withering, rolling, fermentation, and firing. In withering, the freshly plucked green leaves are stored until the moisture content is reduced to the desired amount. The leaves can either be put under the sun or left in a cool, breezy room to evaporate the moisture that is in the leaves. There are no kosher concerns at this stage. In rolling, the withered leaves are crushed by rolling or maceration in order to break down the leaf cell structure and bring the internal natural enzymes and the substrate polyphenols into contact. This is accomplished via CTC, which stands for crush, tear, and curl. The leaves are passed through a series of cylindrical rollers with hundreds of small, sharp teeth. That's CTC. Another piece of equipment commonly employed is the RV, the rotor vane, which accomplishes similar results. There are no kosher concerns at this stage of production since the equipment is generally dedicated for tea leaf at ambient temperatures. The third step is fermentation. The tea leaf is then allowed to sit and ferment. No agents are added to assist in fermentation. The leaves turn darker as their chlorophyll breaks down and tannins are released. Other than the possibility of bug infestation, there are no kosher concerns at this point. The final stage of the fermenting process is firing. When the fermenting leaves reach their desired color, they are fired up, meaning dried, with hot air to halt the oxidation. This heating also serves to clean off impurities, as the leaves are usually not washed. Often, the fluid bed dryer or the spouted bed dryer are used for this. The kosher agencies must monitor if the dryer is used for anything else, since the leaf fired up to high temperatures. If the fermentation is stopped soon after the harvest, it is called green leaf. If the fermentation is stopped midway, it is called oolong. And if it completes fermentation, it is called black tea. It is safe to say that most true tea products go through these basic initial four steps. Herbal tea and caffeine-free teas are not true tea, since they do not originate from the Camellia sinensis plant. They also do not go through the four stages that we mentioned. We will now discuss the different tea products. Tea leaf comes in two forms, hot brew tea leaf and cold brew tea leaf. Hot brew tea leaf is found in the regular tea bags that we have at home or at work, or in the K-cups. That is comprised of crushed tea leaf, which is put in little bags or little cups, and their potency is released due to the energy of the hot water in our teacup. There are kosher concerns with machines that brew certified and non-certified coffees and teas, but that is out of the scope of this presentation. Surprisingly, there are potential kosher issues with tea leaf. Since the leaf is often ground and placed in bags, there is less of a focus by major companies on the quality control of the leaf. They have no fear that the consumer will not be happy with the way the leaf is presented. There is also no fear that the consumer will find dirt in the bags. In Sri Lanka, the world's third largest tea producer, An OU kosher inspector found many foreign matters being ground up with the tea leaf and fannings, including rodents. Obviously, this is a kosher concern which agencies must be aware of. The second kind of tea leaf is cold brew tea leaf. That is a regular tea leaf that may be processed with cell wall digestive enzymes to enable an easier release of the tea essence without heat. There are non-kosher enzymes that can be used for this. Kosher agencies need to be aware of the specific enzymes and the procedures that a company uses to produce the cold brew leaf. The next product is tea extract. Tea extract is a liqueur formed by applying water to the leaves. This extract is most commonly used in food service, such as vending machines for iced tea. The vending machine will often add sweeteners or flavors, and the kosher consumer will need to be aware of all the possible ingredients being added to their tea in the vending machines. Tea powder is another product. Let me clarify that tea powder is not found in tea bags. Only tea leaf, which perhaps may look like powder, will be in a bag. Tea powder usually comes in jars, such as Lipton iced tea powder. Powder is the result of the tea leaf that is cooked. The water extracts the essence from the leaf, forming a liqueur, and then that liqueur is dried. Here, too, there's minimal quality control for the incoming leaf that will be cooked to create the extract liqueur, since the consumer will never see where the powder came from. The leaf may not even be a leaf, rather fannings, the stalk of the tea plant. Sometimes, these stalks or leaves have been pre-cooked for other products. The waste leaf and the fannings are sold to tea companies who then recycle them by grinding them up to be used to make tea powder. Since there is the possibility of the leaf being cooked in a non-kosher facility prior to delivery to the tea powder company, this could actually render the tea powder non-kosher. Although in the larger companies, it is not common that the leaf will be pre-cooked in a non-kosher facility, this is a possibility that kosher agencies need to be aware of. To increase the yield of the tea leaf slurry may include enzymes to start a process which helps the leaf release its essence. The enzymes can also be applied to the tea leaf via direct spray, and the leaf and the enzyme are allowed to react to enhance the fermentation and the essence that is extracted from the tea leaf. My research shows that many enzymes other than tannase are used in tea powder. Enzyme complexes are now being used to produce tea extract. The tannase, plus many other enzymes, are introduced with the tea leaf. In particular, black tea leaf is wetted with water containing tannase, and one or more cell wall digesting enzymes such as cellulase, pectinase, papain, hemicellulase, dextranase, lysozyme or lipases such as pancreatic lipase or castor oil lipase prior to extraction. Some of these enzymes are not kosher. Some patents follow the enzyme treatment with hydrogen peroxide to generate cold soluble color. Other patents suggest that zeolites are used to generate color. These additives must be monitored for kosher integrity. Caramel coloring may also be added to enhance the color, and citric acid can also be added. All must be monitored for kosher integrity. The resulting liqueur of the leaves and the fannings is dried. The most common way to dry the tea extract is in a spray dryer. That is a tall oven where the liquid is dropped in at the top and the liqueur dries into powder as it falls to the bottom of this tall oven. A kashrus agency needs to monitor what else the spray dryer may be used for to verify the kosher status of the dryer. In processing the final product, some ingredients are added to build the body of the extract to enable a higher output of powder. Flavors are usually added before and possibly after the drying process, all of which need to be monitored. As a side point, all tea powder and instant tea powder are cold water soluble, as it has been cooked and dried already once. Instant tea powder is the same as tea powder. However, it includes a chemical process to enable quicker release or hydration. Of course, those chemicals must be monitored by a kosher agency. The next product we will discuss is bottled iced tea. Prepared bottled iced tea has its own unique considerations. You may recall seeing sediment on the bottom of an iced tea bottle. It has become less common since iced tea is now treated with an enzyme to help maintain the clarity of the product. This enzyme must also be monitored along with the flavors, colors, and sweeteners put into bottled iced tea. We will now talk about caffeine-free and decaffeinated tea. Caffeine-free and decaffeinated are not the same thing. Caffeine-free means there was never caffeine, such as in herbal teas. This will also indicate that the tea did not originate from the Camellia sinensis tree. Decaffeinated teas refer to tea that had its caffeine removed. The kosher agency is responsible to verify which processes are used and certify that all the agents used in the process are kosher. The two most common methods of decaffeination are the direct method and the CO2 method. In the direct method, the leaves are first steamed and then repeatedly rinsed with agents. In the CO2 method, also known as the supercritical fluid extraction, the caffeine is dissolved by liquid carbon dioxide at high pressure. The carbon dioxide is usually recycled for many batches. Usually, there are no kosher concerns at this stage, since the equipment is dedicated for kosher ingredients. However, an agency must monitor that no changes are made in the current procedures. We will now talk about herbal teas. Herbal teas, as we mentioned earlier, are not technically tea, since they do not come from the Camellia sinensis tea plant. The processes of those herbs or fruits basically include chopping, adding flavors, and perhaps firing up to stop the microbial process. The equipment, flavors, and heat sources need to be monitored for kosher integrity. Rice in tea can also have kosher considerations. A common tea product is the Genmaica tea. Rice is sent to tea plants in Japan to be used as a filler in Genmaica tea bags. There may be concerns with Bichel Akum with the cooking of the rice. In summary, as it is clear that enzymes have widespread usage in tea production, aside from the kosher monitoring of the enzymes, one must be aware of the possible effect of the kosher for Passover status of those products. Since many of the enzymes are grown on non-kosher for Passover bases, and the final enzyme products may have wheat as an ingredient. Thank you for listening to this edition of Kosher Tidbits.